Howdy, happy new year. And if you want to call or text, you may do so on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989, which, as I say sometimes on our show, our day job is to be retirement planners. And as we start this new year, all of us want to know what's going to happen in the market. What's going to happen to the economy? Well, I know personally, I don't certainly have all the answers. This is why I read as widely as I do. But also, at Common Sense Retirement Planning, we have access to some of the brightest minds in the investment community. Chief amongst them is the chief market economist for AE Wealth, which is a platform we use for much of our investing that we do for clients. Tom Siomatis has 35 years. And one of the things I like about Tom is he's not an egghead. He's not your typical economist type. He went to West Point. He was an infantry officer. And he has experience and a worldview that's different. So, Tom Siomatis, I thank you so much for taking a little bit of your time to talk to us about what you foresee. Because one of the things that you do, Tom, is you have a unique perspective on things. So let's start with this. We just heard the news story. You may have heard it before we came in, talking about the futures were up this morning 100 and things are looking good and the market may really be booming. So let's start with that as a beginning point. What do you foresee in 26, particularly after what an amazing year 25 was, Tom?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on, Tony. Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone. If I could answer that question for the whole year, then we could take the rest of the year off, right? I mean,
well, let's talk about trends, just some general.
Sure. So look, we had a good year. If you're going to go back, 5 years, 10 years from now, you can look back in the history books. It's going to be, 2025 wasn't a bad year. We were up over 15%, third year in a row of double digit returns on the S&P. You wouldn't think anything of it, but think about the year we had. It was tumultuous, right? I mean, it started off with a lot of promise. Then you had the whole tariffs boom. Then you had the rebound in the summer. Then you had this government shutdown. And the only thing I can think for 2026 is you're just going to get more of the same. And the unfortunate part is, we tend to live very up close with everything. So, like you mentioned today, the futures are up. I'm looking at the news programming now, which I probably shouldn't be because I'm on vacation. But, we're up 150, and yet the early part of the week we were down, right? And, I mean, what is that, right? But near-term trend-wise, I think you just can expect more of the same. I mean, I just think the market is at levels it's never been at before. That's obvious to a lot of folks. There's a lot of skittishness out there about what might come next. You got a looming government shutdown potentially here at the end of this month, so God knows how that goes. And it's an election year, right? So there's a lot of stuff that's, it's just not sort of, calm seas ahead. I think at the end of the day, I think we still have a decent year, not as good as this year, but maybe we're up another 10%. But it's going to be challenging. And I think the important thing from my perspective as I look at it, I look at the day-to-day ups and downs of the market and the craziness that goes around. It's really more about like your own mental sort of engagement and calmness when you look at these things. With the dawn of the days where you just put money away, I mean, if you're 25, that's great. You can put money away and forget about it and not have any interest until you start getting closer to retirement. But for the rest of us, it's kind of one of these things where you have to be very, very engaged in what's going on, but not in a nitpicky daily kind of way, but more about focusing on your plan and how to keep your head sort of, in the game without letting the game play you on a daily basis.
If I might interject a metaphor, you have on the one hand fear of missing out, or FOMO, as they say, which is driven by greed and avarice, and the other people who are just afraid to jump in the market at all which is driven by fear. So hewing to the due mean, as it were, is part of the equation, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, at the end of the day, listen, you know, if you told people that the S&P last year was going to end this year at 6,900, nobody would have hesitated. They would have been like, this is great. Now, all of a sudden, you got people that got their 6,900 and they're all greedy about losing it, right? I mean, those are kind of the, you know, you have to balance that, because a lot of this stuff, and I don't think a lot of attention is paid to the mental aspect of investing. I think there's a huge emotional and personal impact that's you know, impacting the way people behave when it comes to investing, right? It's not just about dry numbers and percentages and things like that. And that's why I keep leaning and telling people, like, the most important thing you can possibly do is just have a plan, right? And stick to the plan. And if the plan calls for you to pull money out and put it into different assets, you should follow it. Don't be one of these people that says, well, you know, I'll just wait another month and see if we go up another 5%. Because, you know, you're just going to keep chasing that. And eventually, you know, we will have a correction and you will be hurt. So that's the challenge, right? I mean, a lot of it is it's not just on expecting things from the markets. It's really expecting things from yourself. How are you going to, you know, work through these things? And I don't think a lot of people have these honest conversations with themselves. They just think that, well, I'll let my advisor take care of it and the market will take care of me. And that's not how it works.
And there's a huge difference, too. You alluded to it earlier, Tom, of how one approaches this when you're 25 versus how you're approaching it at 50 or 55, when at some point you're getting ready to, whatever you've saved up to that point is going to have to last you for, what, 20 years, 30 years, however long you live. So how does one look at what's happening in the beginning of the year from the perspective of course, I would look at it this way, being older myself, from somebody that's nearer to retirement?
Yeah, I think the beginning of the year is a great time to sit down, relook at your plan, visit with an advisor. I mean, I think the most important financial decision, in my opinion, you can make is to hire an advisor. Because let's face it, a lot of people have very successful careers. They've accumulated wealth. But who the heck wants to start a second career when they retire? And, you know, honestly, just like in the Army, you know, the financial world has its own series of jargons and its own rules and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, you don't need the stress. So to me, if you don't have an advisor as you start off the year, make an effort to find one, find someone you're comfortable with and create a plan. That's one. I don't know if you'll get sick of me hearing me say that you need a plan, but you really should. I mean, I really think this is not, investing should not be accidental. I mean, there are a few people that get lucky, but by and large, the rest of us, you know, we get where we get by being very, very methodical and staying on plan and having a second person in the room with you when you watch all of this nonsense on a daily basis, where there's always a crisis or there's always some sort of rally or there's something going on that you know, we need to react to.
Well, Tom,
unfortunately,
we've running out of time. But
okay.
But I thank you so much for you taking some time on your vacation, a little less, to hang out with us and give us just a different way to think about things. And thank you for I know a couple of people who are advisors personally. I may even be able to recommend one or two of them. God bless you. Tom Siomatis, the chief economist for AE Wealth Management. Stick around. More of the Tarot Show coming up. I'm Tony Dale. And do text me. I'm going to read some texts coming up on the other side. Well, welcome back. I am so glad that you are here. Heck, I'm glad I'm here. Every day that I wake up healthy and happy at 78, thank you, God, for another day. In fact, may I share? This is a funny little secret, but I swear to you it works. Every morning, this is for what, the last 30 or 40 years of my life at least, the minute I come to consciousness, the first words out of my mouth are, and from the Bible, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then I just thank him for the fact that I have health, the fact that I have a job, the fact, and on and on and on. I'm not joking. You start your day that way, it will transform your worldview, how you deal with the unquestionable problems that will arise in your life. Another good verse, which is sort of one of my keystone verses, and it applies as you start this new year. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Philippians 4:13, a great line. So before I get to these texts, and boy, there's some good ones too. I'm going to do it. I ran across a fascinating piece, and I think it's applicable to the beginning of a year for us all to think literally about what I'm going to share. And how might one apply this to making 2026 a really grand year for yourself? So the article's entitled, Imagination is a Skill, How to Keep it Sharp. It's from the Epoch Times. And before I read it, let me just give you kind of my perspective on this. It occurred to me some years ago of course, you may know that I write songs and all that, been a musician. I wrote a novel last year. It's done pretty well. And so I really appreciate imagination and creativity. Have you ever thought about the fact that God created man in his image? What is God most famous for? Creating everything, all of it. Now, when we do a creative act, anything, gardening, having a thoughtful conversation, writing a song, it could be whatever your particular gifting is, knitting, you are most closely mirroring God's primal characteristic. So think of that in light of this. One of our most important, our greatest power is imagination. Think of it. The greatest artistic, scientific, philosophical, political achievements in human history all came from imagination. And your imagination plays such a role in keeping your brain active and healthy. And a recent study published in Neurology found that people who engage in artistic and imaginative activities in middle age and older are 73% less likely to suffer memory and thinking problems such as mild cognitive impairment. So, put it simply, imagination increases neural activity in your brain because your mind is now mapping uncharted territory. And let me give you an aside. This is in the article, but I read a study. This is so interesting. And this is true if you're learning a different language or doing anything. But music in particular is interesting. They did a study on the brain, what happens to the brain on music. So the first study was just they played first classical music and then some rock and some other stuff. The brain just listening to the classical music and also to jazz had far more activity going on in the creative parts of the brain and also the brain that controls memory. Then they wired up some musicians. So first they wired up a classical musician and had him read the music and play a classical piece the way it was written. And the brain lit up like mad. And then they had a jazz guy come in. And he just, like jazz players do, improvised. Started playing the melody and started doing this off the charts. The brain was just going wild. So the outcome or the thing that they took from this is that your brain starts creating new neural pathways when it's challenged. It's just like muscle memory. When you practice anything regularly, there's this muscle memory. Same thing going on there. So, which leads to a question. Can you improve your imagination? Well, according to a new study in the British Journal of Aesthetics, yes, imagination, in fact, is a skill that can be improved and developed. So, advice for the new year? Here you go. How do you do this? Number one, seek out new experiences, because what they find is familiar activities keep you on well-worn grooves. But if you start purposely putting yourself in other situations and forcing yourself to learn new things, do things differently, your brain begins to grow. Also, be open to what they call writing prompts. Authors know this, but the Holy Spirit, the creative power of God, literally downloads stuff in your mind, subconscious. It's why you should keep a dream journal. Same thing. Because if you do this, you'll begin to start seeing how this creativity is taking shape in you, and your brain will start to grow as a result of it. I mentioned a dream journal. That's a good one. I'll tell you one other thing. I really believe this. I'm a readaholic. I just, aside from having to read a couple of hours a day of show prep and whatever, I'm constantly reading at least two books, because what they found is that this increases the productivity of your imagination and helps create what you might call a vastness in your experiential reservoir when you read great writing. And we live in a time, honestly, didn't I pick a funny time to write a novel? When fewer and fewer people read books? But it's true. Anyway, and here's another one. You'll find this interesting. Stargaze. They actually found out that it is through wonder that men began originally to philosophize by looking up at the sky. You cannot go out on a clear night and look up at the sky and not be awestruck. You really can't, particularly when you think about it in light of that God created all of this stuff. So when you go out, there's something called the Dark Sky Project, where they went out and they wrote this: experiencing the night sky provides perspective, inspiration, and it leads us to reflect on our humanity and the place in the universe. The history of scientific discovery, even human curiosity itself, is indebted to the natural night sky. So, in 2026, let your imagination be kindled. Start to look at the challenges that you have in your life. Think about how you build a muscle, right? People pay money to go to a gym. What do? You put stress on it. And the more you do that, the stronger the muscle gets. That's true with our mental perspective, our emotional perspective. It is so important to take control of your consciousness. And as a Christian, I will tell you, when you have that worldview, when you have literally the Holy Spirit in you available to guide you, to give you wisdom, the more you start tapping into that, the more you're going to be heading in the right direction. And, if I might, maybe we need to spend less time praying to God, "Oh, Lord, please don't let me be squeezed by these tough things in life." And instead be saying, "Lord, when I'm squeezed, let more of you be coming out of me." Now, I know somebody's going to get on me. Somebody wrote, this is a funny text: "Does listening to talk radio help?" Well, what do you think I'm going to say? Of course it does. Keep listening. It's a good one. Now, yes, being thankful. That's so important. Okay, so I have been remiss because I've had a couple of guests, but I'm going to try to get to some very, very clever texts that have been sent in by you brilliant listeners, you. And thank you so much for being so kind to me when I have the grand opportunity to fill in for my favorite talk show host, or one of them, Tara Servatius. Tony Dale back after this. Well, good morning and welcome to a new year. I can't believe it. Hey, how many times do you think you're going to write 2025 at the end of a check? Or I know it's coming. All right, I promised to get to some of these brilliant tests. You know, one of the cool things about doing talk radio is, and this is borne out by studies, incidentally, did you know that talk radio listeners, this is true, have on average the higher education level than your other formats of radio, higher income and home ownership levels than other in the types of formats of radio, and therefore we get clever people texting us and occasionally even calling us on the WRD talk line, which is 800-905-0989, which of course is also the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, from which I read the following from Tom in Mills River, up my way. Hi, Tony. Happy New Year. Here's a question. A Muslim goes through American taxpayer free education system, and what career path do they choose? My experience is most go into an education career in the American education system. They teach our children how to hate Christianity and love Islam. I'm coming originally from Michigan, and I went to school with hundreds of them. Just checking. Seems like a million of everything. Tony, thank you, Robert T. Good question. In fact, Michigan and Minnesota, yep. I want you to think, first of all, how did this happen? This whole thing that you're watching with the fraud thing going on with the Somalis in Minnesota, now they're finding the same things going on in Washington State, in Maine, Ohio, Michigan, other states. This same government fraud, and that seems to be tied in particular, to Islamic community. What do you suppose would be the reason for that, I wonder? Well, it's a good question. And so we have a caller, do we? We don't have a caller. Okay, well then, never mind. This system, you know, the show that we do, Common Sense Talk, we don't take calls, so I was all excited for a moment. Here's another one. Where we go? I have a question. With all this misuse of government money, why haven't any arrest warrants been served on the people that were in charge of handing it out to see what kind of accusations and why isn't anything being done? That is such a great, great point. And let's talk about that for a second. Okay, so here is the fact. Let's back up and see, how did this whole thing start for both Michigan and Minnesota? Barack Obama decided it would be such a good idea to help all these Muslim people come to America. But he very insidiously, but cleverly, sent them all to a couple of specific places. In other words, he flooded the zone of Minneapolis and parts of Michigan. Why did he do this? Because he then could begin to build a political infrastructure to support his radical agendas, all of it funded by taxpayer dollars. What is this? Can't read that, JJ. Oh, well. Bob in Greenville's online one. Hallelujah. Put that boy on. Bob, thank you for calling. It's such a treat to hear a human voice.
Yeah, I had called a few minutes ago, but your phone screener had a bad line twice.
Oh, golly.
And it was like there wasn't anybody there but the ding. But anyway, I want to thank you for the comment about how intellectual you think I am and how smart you think I am as a listener.
Well,
hello.
Show me how smart you are. Tell me something brilliant.
Well, I'm going to tell you something brilliant, since you said the listeners are smart and brilliant and home ownership is up. I guess it was 10 years ago, I was listening to you on one of your financial shows, and I thought, that guy has no idea what he's talking about. And then it hit me like an idea, like, well, you're not doing well. You're upside down. You have 5 credit cards maxed out. You got a first mortgage, second mortgage, maybe just once in your 68-year life you should listen. So I listened to you. I listened to your other partner. I made notes. I listened every once a week, Saturday mornings for, well, a year. Well, I'm out of debt. I have no credit cards. I bought a rental house and rented it, and then I flipped it and took the equity and paid off the house I'm in. So I don't even have a mortgage. I have a mortgage, no car payment, and no credit cards. I don't owe a man on this earth a dollar, and that's one of your goals, you say. And let me tell you what, it's because of you and your common sense financial program and your other partner and your county bank guy. Y'all changed me. It's actually 12 years ago now, and I changed my financial path. And now I've got CDs, and I thank the Lord for you, and I thank the Lord for WORD letting you get on the radio, and I thank the Lord for your partners with common sense. And I'm gonna shut up, but I'm just going to tell you, you changed my life, and I appreciate you.
Wow. Wow. I don't even know what to say other than praise
I'm
God.
I'm going to hang up and take your response on the other side.
Okay. Well, here's my response, Bob. First of all, praise the Lord, because all of that wisdom that you just espoused and anything that comes out of my mouth, we base our whole worldview. And we're obvious. We start our show with reading something from the Bible because the Bible has more good financial advice in it. People don't even know how often the Bible talks about money. But one of the things it said really relates to something you said, which is from Proverbs, the borrower is slave to the lender. And if you look at how the entire investment world works, basically it's no more complicated than this. You either pay interest to someone who is earning interest. You either earn it or you pay it, one or the other. You can't get to the point where you have gotten to, and I've gotten to as well, to be out of debt and able then to take the excess of whatever you're making and invest that money for your future, for your retirement, so you will have something to live on when you finally do get to be my age, which is 78. But
wow, 78. Well, I'm 68, so you're right. You've taken your own advice. And when I did, I said 10 years ago, maybe 12. But I literally had to go get money and write checks. And then when the next paycheck came, I had to go like FedEx payments so they wouldn't be late. And one day the lady said, you know, you spend $150 a month on FedEx envelopes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, well, I had so many bills and so many credit cards. But the day I heard you say that, you said, be a slave to no man. And you're right. It was biblical. But the one thing that I had called you about 12 years ago was taking a 15-year mortgage that was down to 10 and stretching it to 30 to make the payments so low that I wouldn't lose my house. And I remember you said, well, Bob, that's not exactly that ain't exactly the way it's supposed to work, son. Take a 10-year mortgage and stretch it to 30. And I said, well, otherwise I'm going to lose my house.
Yeah.
And your other common sense partner, the county bank guy, and I can't recall his name. I just can't. But anyway, he said, well, you would still have your house.
Bob,
you could refi.
I hate to do it, but we're hitting a hard break, so I got to let you go. God bless you, and thank you for your...
God bless you, and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for your kind
words. I appreciate you. Thank you, sir. Happy New Year.
You same to you.
Bye-bye.
Well, howdy, and welcome back. I want to get to some more of these texts before we run out of time today, because there's so many good ones. I wish I could do them all, but I love this one. When you immigrate the third world, you get the third world. Rush Limbaugh. Oh, I miss that guy. Oh, my gosh. And then it's another. It's the immigration stupid variation of James Carville's It's the Economy Stupid. But here's another text which makes a great point. Tony, I think that you would agree that anytime you have a well-funded government money nipple, there will be fraud, especially when there is no oversight. That is how the Somalis screwed us. The fundamental transformation continues. So let me touched on this. I never got to finish this thought because an earlier text had asked the question, well, how in the world did this come to be? Okay. So to finish off this thought, so Barack Obama imports all these Somalis and Muslims to Michigan and to Minnesota and Michigan, respectively, and helped build this machine. Now, let's look at the people that created the sign for the learning center that was misspelled. They left the N out, and it was the whatever it was, Leering Center. This is the one where one of the many where the fraud was going on. So this citizen, independent journalist, he goes out there and he breaks this story. This is actually what journalism used to do. Go out there and actually find the real story and tell it. And do you know that he's getting threats on his life, by the way, the fellow that broke this story? All right. So you import people from one of the most backward countries on the planet. And I'm not making this up. Highest amount of inbreeding in Somalia of any country in the African continent. The average IQ of Somalis is 67. Just for perspective, we consider someone mentally disabled at 70 in this country. So think about that for a second. So these people supposedly just came over here and instantly were smart enough to figure out how to game this very complicated system. Government has all this money. If I would do this and this and this and this, I can get some of that stuff. I can suck on that public teat. Now, do you honestly think that coming directly from the third world to Minneapolis, they're just going to be able to figure this out on their own? No, I don't think so. No. What I do think is they had an awful lot of help from that democratic political machine to help them set this up and scam the system. And now that we dig into it, whose name do you think is likely to turn out to be one of the chief instigators of making it all happen? Can you say the words Ilhan Omar? You know, the woman who lied about getting married and married her brother, apparently. That's all under investigation. It's all going to come out. And of course, JJ just reminded me. Oh, yes, can you say inbreeding? Thank you, brother. But all right. Do you know what? Since we're on the subject of Somalia, this is even crazier. Guess who just got put in at the UN to succeed the head of, I believe it's the Human Rights Commission. One of the higher offices. A Somalian who, in fact, have lived in Minnesota and has had the offices. His office was just kind of right down the hall from some of these people that are now under investigation. What more? The UN. But of course, you would say. The point is this. Donald Trump, you want a reason to be happy as you begin this year? We went from opening the borders on purpose and allowing the entire third world to just roll into this country, and they're still here, and to the tune of conservatively 10 to 11 million, I would argue it's probably closer to 15 to 20, but point is, we had the lowest number of people apprehended at the border trying to get across this year than in history. Under 105,000. 105,000. So thank you, Tom Oman. Thank you, Donald Trump. And thank you, ICE. In spite of what these boneheads in Chicago and San Francisco and all these other places, you can't pick up these people and make them go home. Yes, you can. Yes, we should. Yes, we're doing it. We have deported, I don't know what the number is. It's a huge number. And now, of course, one of the big cases coming before the Supreme Court, as you may know, is the whole birthright citizenship question. One of the big cases that will be on tap in the coming years. So we'll all have to watch and see what happens with that. Oh, and the other big one, of course, the Supreme Court is going to rule on tariffs. And if you have watched at the blowout of, we ended the economy growing 4.3% GDP, that the quote experts said it would be 3.2. That's just part of what Donald Trump, an export boom, 8.8%. We have made, let me see if I get this number right. But I think it's $300 billion directly attributable to tariffs. This year, people are going to get bigger refunds in their taxes. So I just say, let Trump be Trump. Let Karen continue to be Karen and just ignore her because she doesn't know a thing. But I know this. I am so grateful to live in the United States on our 250th anniversary. Let's just see if we can continue to hew the same path that was laid out for us by our benefactors and forefathers to make this one nation under God again, which the left has done everything to dismantle. One nation under God, indivisible again. I pray for that. Hey, listen, come and listen to us on Common Sense Talk on the weekends. Go to our website, csrp.info, if you know, listen to a podcast. And God bless you. Have a fabulous 26.